Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. In the studio with me today is Cherie Shank. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Larry. It's such a blessing to be here. Oh, this is going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be fun. So blessed to have you. Because you and Merle have been a great blessing to our lives. We've been walking together there for many years now.
Yes, we have.
And going through a season of succession coming up. Excited about all that. But let's get down to it. You have so much in you. I want to give you as much time as possible. Let's just talk about what are some areas of leadership you've experienced over the years. I want everyone to know who you are, and then we'll get into some leadership questions.
Yeah. So right now I'm a mom. I have 5 kids.
That's it.
We have a big household. We got lots of pets and cats and dogs running around.
You have a duck, I think.
We have one duck right one now duck. And a lot of chickens. So we're kind of like out in the middle of the woods. And so that's a big part of my life. I homeschool some of my kids. So it keeps me busy. But on the side, I love to just be part of what God's doing. Yeah. And so over the years, I think when I look back at how God weaves your journey together, he doesn't waste anything that he does in you. So one of my first jobs was I got hired at the school I graduated from, and I was working with nonprofit volunteer teams.
Wow.
And God just has used that formation experience over and over and over in my life, because in the ministry world, you're working with volunteers.
Exactly.
And you're leading people who it's not like your typical CEO business environment. Mm-hmm. And God just has used that over the years. So we have probably had at least the first 15 of years of our life was in a cross-cultural ministry setting. Many different continents, a lot of traveling, a lot of ministry. So that's just been part of what I've been engaged in from the beginning, from when Merle and I got married and we went to Bible school, and then we just hit the ground running in the nations.
What a leadership journey you guys have had. Wow.
Yes.
And a lot of time in South Africa, right?
Yes. Almost 12 years in South Africa.
Church planting. Leading schools and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we did church planting, several different like teams in the United States as well. We helped a pastor in Australia, lived there for 3 months. It's just been a great learning journey, and God brings it all together. So currently I'm on staff at Newport Church, where Merle is the lead pastor, and I'm one of the associate pastors there. I'm involved with Dove International, sit with our leadership teams here, and serve in different capacities, and it's a joy. I love it.
I want to say 2 things on a personal level before we go on. The first thing is that I've been traveling with your husband, Merle, all over the world for the last almost two years. Because of him becoming the new international director. He is so much fun.
He
really is.
You're not wrong. He's one of my favorite people.
He loves his wife, and he loves his family, and you know, he loves the body of Christ. He's just been a joy to travel with. And Laverne, as you know, is very happy he goes with me, because I'm getting older and he's younger and he takes good care of me.
I love
your husband. He's
amazing. He loves to travel. And you know, it's amazing. We're almost married. I think this coming year, February, will be 24 years. So 23 years right now married, and just the fast pace of life. And whenever we get our like date time and it's just like one-on-one time, I'm like, babe, I really like you. Like, it's so nice to live life with someone who you actually really enjoy time with.
Second thing on the personal level is I want to thank you, Cherie, personally, because it's because of you that I have this podcast. I remember, 3 years ago, maybe, Laverne and I, with you and Merle, we're talking late into the night about the future and things God may want to do. And we love our times with you. And you said, Larry, you need to do a podcast. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, yeah, you could do it. I said, I don't think. You said, I'll help you. I'll set it up for you. So you're really the reason that we have this podcast. So thank you.
Well, you know, there's a story to that. Because one time when you and Laverne came to South Africa, you kept us up late one night. And we made a joke. We're like, when Larry need something of us. He'll keep us up late. So we are really good disciples and followers. So when I was like, the next season is podcasting, I think we kept you up late that
you
night.
Did.
But honestly, look what God has done.
It's been wonderful.
It's been amazing. Mm. And your team has been amazing to see
Our
what God has
amazing.
Done.
Our team is amazing, yeah.
Getting the message out beyond yeah. just the normal
yeah.
four walls of a building.
Yeah. And my, you know, brand new production assistant here is my daughter, Katrina Breckwill.
You're so blessed.
Yeah.
That's
it's a
awesome.
Great blessing. And she's been trained by Melina. She's done such a good job. It's been amazing. All right. Let's talk about leadership. Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to try.
Okay. What you've had all this experience in leadership. We just mentioned a few areas here in the beginning. What are some of the lessons you've learned over the years? And there's a lot, but pick out some lessons that you feel like would be most important for our listeners to hear. I mean, you're aware that this is a global podcast, 170-some countries, and we'd just love to hear from you. What are some things that you've learned that'd be a blessing?
Yeah, I think when I think about, wow, this is a leadership role that I am in, and some people know, they know from the beginning, like, I'm called to leadership.
Right.
And I think for me, I never had that, like, I'm called to leadership, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like I always just heard God, and he would show me a piece of his heart. And he would like invite me to participate in it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would just give him my next yes. And it just look
so
where your yeses take you in Christ. And so
yeah.
I think we get really hung up when we compare ourselves to other people
right.
and think, well, I don't look like them. I could never do what they do. Mm-hmm. And if you're busy looking at everyone else, you can't be looking and hearing at what God wants to say to you.
Mm.
Because there's this peace in Christ that he says we all have a part to give.
That's right.
And it's the graces of him and not of us. And
mm-hmm.
when I thought about this question, I thought of this verse from 1 Corinthians. It says, when I come to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness,
yeah.
in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And in a leadership mm-hmm. story, we often want to come in feeling like we have these great skills. We have this great, we're the answer person. And I feel
right.
like in my life, over and over again, God has shown me that no, the power is from him.
Right.
He's looking for
so
anyone
right.
who will be a bridge between heaven and earth and say, okay, I might not be the best qualified. I might not be the most powerful. I might be the most articulate person, but I see this invitation and I might be crazy enough to say, all right, yes, I'll do it. It might not be my personality, my skill set.
Right.
And I think about that even with the podcast that I do
mm-hmm.
in this. I'm sometimes so amazed that God has me doing podcasts because I've never felt super
yeah.
strong in my communication
yeah.
skills. But God has provided ways forward. And I remember when I was one time in sitting in ministry, and I was ministering, leading a discipleship group in a safe house for women in
mm-hmm.
Cape Town. And so each one of these women had come from a place of trauma. They had come from a place of domestic violence or sexual violence that was either connected to their family or their community.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a anointed vibe in the room. I mean, when you went in there, the kids were crying, somebody was washing dishes, people were walking through the room. But as you just sat and said, we're just going to like hear from God and we're going to mm-hmm. open the word, his power can transform the most
yes.
broken person.
Yes.
And when you anchor yourself in what you do into that, anything can happen.
Right.
And you just are so aware that if you just partner with him, he can move the biggest mountain.
Mm.
And I think that's probably my number one thing where I'm like, I don't do this because I feel like I have it all together. Like, I don't do this because
right.
I feel like I
right.
had this strong leadership call. I just saw what Jesus was doing
yeah.
and presented his word, and his power shifts people.
Yeah. So, so
yeah.
good. You mentioned your podcast.
Oh, yes.
Lisa and Sheree, but tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I think we had a conversation with my friend Lisa one day, and we said, how can we better reach people in our community? We were both moms at the time, and we would see on forums, like, I've been living in this area for 7 years, 10 years, and I'm really lonely, and I'm struggling to make connection. And I was just broken by that
mm-hmm.
and be like, we have something in the body of Christ is there another way that we can get that message out? And she was like, I want to do that with you. And so here we were in our 40s, not tech savvy. I mean, if we could understate how untech savvy we were, we would not be exaggerating at all. But we were, again, just crazy enough to say, is there a way we can reach our community? And so we've been having a lot of fun with it.
So many people are so blessed by that. Check out Lisa and Sheree podcast on the show notes. Now, let's get back into mistakes. Have you made any?
A lot.
Are there any mistakes that you can think of? You think, man, I really learned through that mistake.
Yes. There are so many mistakes. I actually was like, which one should I go?
Well, give us a few.
Which one should I go through? I think one of the ones that I go back to a lot in life is sometimes when you're leading a group, you're leading a small group, you have a heart to disciple. Mm-hmm. I mean, that season of life, we were church planning in an inner city environment, and we were like, wow, this is hard.
Yeah.
You know, the prophetic word never like looks like the hard
right.
in the season.
That's
and
right.
I think everybody wants the prophetic word and the dream and the vision and the confirmation.
Right.
But there's a process to walking that out that looks like character formation, growth, faith, risk, not quitting. And I think in that season, I thought, if I just get better, if I just learn something, if I just work harder, that this will shift. And I got to a place of like, just I have given everything and just feeling so discouraged. And then suddenly God started doing crazy things. Mm. Like people are getting healed. I mean, huge movements of provision. And it's so humbling because you've seen what your efforts can produce.
Right.
But then suddenly you see what happens when God steps in.
Right.
And it's like all that performance just gets stripped out of you.
Right.
Because you know that people look at it and they're like, this is crazy. This is a God story. But you know it's not you.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with your leadership, nothing to do with what you carry.
Right.
It's just God.
Mm.
And so I think learning to come into a place of like, all I'm responsible is to be obedient to what God has asked me to do and to be faithful to that, whether it looks successful or doesn't look successful, whether I feel like I'm able to build the way, you know, I have in my heart to build, but not to go into striving and to stay in a place of rest. Because when God shows up, it makes all of our efforts just look so small.
Yeah.
What he does is so much bigger than what we could do.
Exactly.
And so I think my big lesson, and I tell Merle all the time, I'm like, babe, we're not doing that again. We've been there. We've done that. We've got the t-shirt and we don't want it back. And we're just not going to move into striving. So I think when we start to feel like there's resistance or that we're hitting like a personal growth curve, we're just like, all right, we're just going to surrender to God and let him lead it and work it out.
Beautiful.
So that's one of my big takeaways that I constantly, you know, build a memorial to the Lord. I'm not going back to that.
Do you have some more?
Oh, yes.
Give us a couple more.
Okay. So another one. This will start out with a great story. So we were living in Cape Town at the time, and we had this calling for the nations, but we were so broke, we couldn't get out of town. Like, our car would literally break down within a 20-minute drive of wherever we went. So we were like, God, you know, you live in that tension as a leader. You know, I think every leader has to have some of those stories where you're like, you live on rice or a can of soup. It's just part of learning that money isn't going to control you, but God is in control of your life, regardless of circumstances. And that's what God was doing. But in that season, Merle was on a trip to Kenya. I was 8 months pregnant. I was driving like a 20-some-year-old, I don't remember exactly how old it was, really old, Volkswagen Beetle. And I was in the middle of an 8-lane intersection. So crazy traffic.
Right.
And there's no curb. And the car just decides to quit.
Oh, no.
And just, I can't pull over. There's no curb in the middle. There's no curb on the side. I'm 8 months pregnant. Everybody's beeping their horns. And I'm like, God, my husband is traveling for you. I am here. And like, don't you care? It was like the devil was like, yeah, God doesn't care.
Right.
In that moment of your suffering. Like, and I really had to go through a season of being like, when lies come to you, when they come, how are you going to embrace your what feels like your experience that is actually a lie against God's nature? Or are you going to be like, wow, God, that was a really painful experience. Like, I really was in a really tight spot. It was terrible. Like, strange. I was stuck there for like 10 minutes. So people helped push my car to the, right. And they had to push it like a mile to find a place to park the car. Wow. And I had to get a ride home. It was wild. But, and you think people all over the world deal with tragedy, right. Loss, unexpected pain. Yes. And there is this truth where it says God loves us. Right. His love is for us and his grace is available in every situation, whether we have abundance or whether we have lack. And I think part of your journey as leadership is you're going to have lots of places in your life where you're going to have opportunities and perfect setups to believe something about God that isn't true.
That's so good.
And whether you're going to allow that to be a place of brokenness in your life or you're going to allow God to work that out of your heart. Like, I remember different times I would go to Merle, yeah, God doesn't really care if we suffer. Like, and he would be like, babe, you know that's not true. And I'd be like, yeah, but that's how I feel. Yeah. But not getting stuck in the feelings. Right. And then over a period of time, the Lord just started sweetly, like he does, bringing his healing and bringing his truth and completely showing me that, Sheree, my goodness is there for you,
yeah.
Whether the circumstances line up the way you think they should, whether you have an abundance, whether you have lack, in any season, my love is there for you. And I had like a complete shift out of that lie. But I think we all face things like
that
in our life.
We do.
And learning that you can either let the circumstance make you bitter or it can make you softer.
Yeah.
It can draw you closer to Jesus.
So good.
And I can't say that I passed that one with flying colors the first time around, but it's something that I feel like I'm continually allowing the Lord to shine his word into my life and say, you know, there's a little bit of a victim story in there in this. Are you going to anchor to that or are you going to let me deal with that? And he's been so faithful just deal with that in my life.
Love your stories. Love these realities. Any more?
Oh man, there is so many stories with that. But I think one thing I wanted to talk about is the formation of the Holy Spirit in just how we follow him and how we give him our yes.
And, let's go there.
You know, there's a lot of things like when you're serving the Lord in your life out of a place of surrender and out of a place of calling, it's going to sustain you in areas of testing. In a different way than if you think, oh, I'm just doing this to please someone else, or
that
I'm just doing this as a employee, or I'm just doing this as a job description, versus like there's actually a spiritual call to being a mom. There's actually a spiritual call to being an intercessor.
Yes.
There's actually a spiritual call to how you serve practical needs
That's
in your community, whether it's feeding people at a soup kitchen or it's like being an usher at your church. You can either just think I'm clocking in my time or you can put it on the altar and be like, God, like, let your fire fall in this area. And so whether I have been like teaching kids in Sunday school, like I go into it saying, this is going to be the most anointed Sunday school class. Like these kids are getting an encounter with God's love. Whether I'm sitting on like the DMI board, I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you have? Every situation where I go in, I'm like preparing intentionally. What do you want me to bring? What do you want me to represent? What are you doing here? And I don't serve as unto man. I serve
That's
as
good.
Unto God. And in our life, we went through a season where a previous ministry we were a part of really disappointed us, really hurt us, and really let us down. And we had done a lot of like financial sacrifices to be there. We had given a lot of time and money, but I never felt like it was unto men. I always felt like it was unto God. So I felt like no one could take that sacrifice and say, well, that was just a waste. It's such a big disappointment because it was a sacrifice in worship and love for God.
Right.
And so I think if anyone's listening today and you're thinking back through things and times you gave, and sometimes that can cause resentment, you know, or you can feel like that person, you know, lacked integrity and there's pain and forgiveness and a whole process there. But the other piece of it is if you need to make a correction where you're like, everything I gave to my church, to that leader in this situation, I did for man and not for God, you can say, all right, I'm going to take that offering out of that place and I'm going to make it as an offering to God. And he makes it something beautiful because God never wastes our sacrifice. And he'll always be responsive to the things we offer to him. So
I remember, Sheree, with Laverne and I being with you and Merle in South Africa. And one of the things that really, really impressed me was I remember some time, one day we went out with Merle somewhere, I forget where, and I began to ask him some questions about the pain I thought he would have gone through because mm-hmm. of some of the disappointments that had happened in ministry. And he said, basically, what he said is what you said here right now. We did this to the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. Response to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I thought there's such health in that. And I think that would help so many people. Because we all meet people in leadership who've been in leadership in the past. Maybe they still, maybe they're not, but they got hurt somewhere. Either people hurt them or the devil hurt them or whatever. Or they hurt themselves or whatever. It's about His grace on our lives.
Absolutely.
And you've really modeled that so well. And so grateful for you guys. So grateful for your lives.
I think the reality is you're not a perfect leader and you're never going to be serving under a perfect leader.
That's right.
And so how you respond to the faults of other leaders over you is one of the signs that you're ready for greater leadership and influence yourself.
Exactly. And we're not excusing other leaders who do stupid things at all. Mm-hmm. We're simply saying this is our walk. It's between us and Jesus, us and the Lord. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're so right.
Absolutely.
Love it. Love it. Well, I want to ask you about how do you stay healthy as a leader anyway. We're kind of starting to get into this already anyway. What do you say to a younger leader who would ask you for advice on how to be a healthy leader?
Oh, that's so good. I mean, number one, anchor in your call.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to move on from anything until God has actually called you into the new thing. So there's been so many seasons of my life where it's been uncomfortable. It's been difficult. I had a right to be frustrated.
Right.
You know, people hurt me or, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen where it gets tough. Or maybe you just get bored where you are, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But we've always, Merle and I have always walked with this, that like if God hasn't moved us into our new season, if He has intentionally said, not just that this season is ending, but this is the next vision, we would not move, mm-hmm. even if it was difficult. And I think a lot of times what happens is people get to a place where it's difficult and they're like, that's it, I quit, I'm out, this mm-hmm. is hard. They'll never grow personally.
True.
Into what, there's always two sides, you know, there's always ways that you can grow as a better communicator if you're willing to learn, but not moving preseason. Because what happens if you moved preseason, God will bring you right back around to that same test again.
He will. And again, and again.
Because He wants you to make it.
Right.
He wants you to succeed, and He wants you to live up to the calling that He has for your life. And so He's giving you opportunities to be approved.
So
but if you are like just stuck in your feelings and like, well, my feelings say that this is impossible and hard, and you know, you can quit. You can. You have the option, but it's not what I would recommend for moving into health. So that's one thing. I think another thing that has helped us over and over again, and I really have to honor Merle. He really taught me this. I don't think this is something I carried myself, which was investing in relationships where you can be safe to process and share. And I can't overstate this. Every breakthrough that we have had has come because of key people speaking into our life.
Sure.
I can go back and I could list the situation and list the divine encounter. But Merle has made this pattern of like meeting with people. And sometimes when you meet with them, there's not this amazing synergy, like big takeaway. But honoring that person and honoring the investment in a relationship. Because what happens is there will be a time when you're going to have a fire in your life and you're going to need someone to speak into your life and you won't have anyone there.
Right.
Or the people won't know you because you haven't invested. We're not meant to walk alone.
Exactly.
And you have to, as leaders, especially as leaders, practice vulnerability. I was meeting with someone, and if I would tell you who they are, you would know them. They were married to a megachurch pastor, thousands of people in their ministry. And they ended up hitting a really hard patch in their marriage and getting divorced. And as she was talking with me, she was so vulnerable. And she said, we didn't feel like we had anybody that we could go to that would have been safe when we hit this. And if we would have had spiritual parents or mentors that we could have gone to, we weren't facing impossible situations in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, now I feel like I see that in hindsight. And she's like, have people speaking into your life.
So
be
true.
Vulnerable. Talk about your challenges. Don't just quit. Don't just give up. And for a lot of leaders, they just don't have that.
Right.
And it takes intentionality.
It does on both sides.
Yeah. Really does, so just invest in those relationships, especially as a leader. And then my last thing is keep it simple. Okay, so I'm a homeschool mom. We do like kids' books, devotionals, right? You know, the thing about forgiveness is it applies in your marriage. It applies in how you treat your coworkers. It applies in every area of life. And sometimes I think pastors and leaders, we're so used to like this big, deep concept, we forget to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Am I like, if you ever hear yourself talk and you're like, ooh, that sounded really angry, or that sounded really bitter, or that sounded like harsh or disproportionate for the situation. Those are flags that there's something in there for you to dig after in yourself. We can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Like that's the fruit that I love to walk in, and I'm still growing in it because I can get really frustrated sometimes. I'm like, oh, but when you hear that in yourself or you hear disempowering language, keep it simple. Yeah. Be like, you can go after everything that God said you could have if you want it.
Right.
Like righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that's available for every Christian.
It is.
And that's a hard challenge. Because you have to be like, not blame other people or not make it about circumstances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like we just have to keep it simple and go back to the simple truths and
keep
apply them
simple.
In our
so
lives.
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
I don't know.
You know, we're going to have to close. This has been a fast 25 minutes. I want to have you back.
Yeah.
And I've got so many more questions for you about leadership and healthy leadership. And I'd like to even talk to you a bit more about going through this whole succession process. So what does that feel like? We talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sheree, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Oh, sure. Check out the show notes, everybody. Show notes and learn more about Sheree and Merle and all that God's given them, and get some special notes on there that'll help you remember what we talked about on the podcast today. So again, looking forward to see you back here next week on the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. God bless you. Have an amazing day.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.